What is up, Mentors Collective? Have you heard the term pyramid scheme, network marketing? Well, in this episode, I am going to tell you why you need to do it, despite everything that you may have heard, people you may have talked to. If you're interested in business and you want to build the skills and see if you have what it takes in a nearly risk-free environment, I'm going to make the argument with a colleague who knows this field much better than I do. But if you're interested in entrepreneurship, you're interested in making money, you're interested in driving a cooler car and having the freedom that network marketing allows you to have, this is going to be an episode you're really going to want to pay attention to. And if you've heard the term network marketing before, you've probably heard of the company Monet, one of the most prevalent companies in the space. And I am humbled and honored on this episode to have one of the foremost experts in network marketing and one of the founders of Monet. Tony Van Schoik, welcome, and thank you so much for spending your time with me here to educate my audience on this specific topic. Thank you.
Well, Jay, I'm honored to be here, and I cannot wait to share something that I truly love.
Thank you. And I hope to dispel some rumors, hopefully change some minds, and encourage people to enter into this space. Because I think over the past decade, and you can tell better than I will, that the space has maybe attracted some interesting players and connotations that may have turned people off to it. But I always tell people who are into it or try and get me involved, good for you. I'm glad you're doing this. You're getting the education. You're bettering yourself. So I'd love to just kind of start with a brief overview. What is network marketing on a very beginner surface level?
So network marketing actually is when you sell a product or service that doesn't go through the five chains of the supply chain. So it's basically, it is direct to consumer, and it is word of mouth marketing. Social selling is what we really call it now. It's no longer direct sales or MLM or even network marketing because of our social media platform. So it's really about social selling. But it's when someone can take the time that they do have, which we all have plenty of hours in a day, if you work it strategically, taking those hours and investing something into a business that, yes, will it make you more money? 100%. But it also, there are a lot of other advantages about network marketing that people don't learn until they actually are in doing it, such as the personal and professional development, such as the relationship capital and the building of you know like, and trust. There's just so many different facets. And I think that's why I truly love this industry and why I've been in it for over 25 years.
And I think it's one of the only things you can kind of sign up for and get a crash course in entrepreneurship. Because everything else in the entrepreneurial space is very much be resourceful, figure it out yourself, get your own education. No one teaches you how to be an entrepreneur. Within network marketing, I found that they do. And that's really unique and interesting. And for people that don't know how to get into entrepreneurship, I think it's the best way because the first step is always the hardest. And I think this is a really easy, safe, and important first step to take. Walk me through a couple of the different evolutions of social selling, because it didn't start as that. And it goes by a lot of different names that people call it and may have heard in passing. So I'd love to talk about some of those names because people might know what this is or have heard of it, but may have called it something different. So if you could educate us a little bit on that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and this industry has had quite the history. And actually, many of you know Avon. They were the first really direct selling company out there. It's been around for over 100 years. But, you know, the two main really, you know, household names that come to mind are probably Mary Kay and Amway, right? Two huge companies. They've been around for decades and decades and decades. And it really started because we didn't have anything else but face-to-face or the telephone at the time. And that's how you marketed your business is talking to people and letting them know what you're doing. Well, you know what, Jay, for any entrepreneur, it doesn't matter. If you have a closed mouth, you have a closed business. If you are talking to people and sharing about your business, then you're open for business. But that's originally how we got started, right? And then it started to transform with technology. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love the face-to-face and, you know, over the phone, and Zoom has been totally instrumental for us. I don't do a call anymore without being on a Zoom call because I want to be with people, talking with them, not at them. But I will say is that, you know, through the, you know, technology course that we've been through over this last 20 years, and of course, my main, you know, our main thing when we started this back in the 90s and early 2000s was freeconferencecall.com, where you could all be on together and having a conversation. And then it morphed into, oh, we can take it another step further with technology. And you had GoToMeeting, Citrix, and now Zoom, which is prevalent, and StreamYard and all of these other platforms, which are absolutely fantastic. But what that also allows you to do is that as social sellers and being on social media, being social face-to-face, is that it makes it much more simpler to really work this business across the globe. And from, you know, this phone right here, 95% of people are doing everything from their phone now. So it's technology has been a major, major player in it. It's helped us to scale, but at the same time, it's also been a great way to spread our culture, to spread our gratitude, to spread our service.
I completely agree with you. I'm sure technology has changed network marketing into social selling and the evolution. I wonder if the names have changed with the technology. You mentioned one, for example, MLM, which I know stands for multi-level marketing. Not a lot of people do, or maybe they've heard MLM before and don't associate it with social selling. When did those names change? Why did they change? Are they the same thing? There's MLM, network marketing, social selling. Pyramid is something that's been thrown around before. So walk me through some of the nomenclature.
Yeah, so Pyramid was really, it really got that name in, back in the 70s. And we're still talking about that term today, right? Where, you know, only the person at the top makes all the money and it's a scam, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true because you know what, Jay, we have people that started this company. We have people that come in two or three years ago and they're out earning, you know, the first top income earners. And they're still a part of their organization or team. So that dispels the pyramid right there. And, you know, the other thing is that it had a very high cost startup where, you know, now companies that want to provide value and really want to help everybody, no matter what economical place that they're in their life, that your barrier to entry to have a turnkey business is a mere few hundred dollars. Well, I don't know about you. I used to own brick and mortars and it wasn't a few hundred dollars to run the business, right? But also get the training and teach you how to be an entrepreneur and true to what you were saying before. And I'm so glad, you know, that I followed this journey because, you know, my mom was a business owner. She did well. My dad was an employee all of his life, but he did something that he loved and they both had really great work ethic. A lot of times what people think is that you start up something like this, that you're going to talk to three or four people and you're going to make all of this money. Well, that's not true, right? It's a process. In anything, it doesn't matter. And probably with technology, it's probably short in the 7-year span of becoming an expert into something into maybe 3 or 4. But when you're coachable, when you study this industry, you can be very successful. Now, in terms of what you're saying, MLM, direct sales, network marketing. It's all about your network, right? And people go out and they network all the time. You go into your coffee shop, you go to a chamber meeting, you're even out and about doing life, but doing business during your life. You're still talking to people. You're giving recommendations on great restaurants or, you know, a great massage therapist or a yoga teacher, whatever the case may be. Not only that, you market yourself to your own family. So it's really about sharing something that you love, but how it's evolutionized is that do we still do face-to-face events? Absolutely. But we're all about having fun, right? Because we need to have a little bit more fun in our lives. But the great thing is that there is we do have a structure. We are duplicable. In a lot of industries and technology, you can't say that. It's just somebody who's figured it out, right? So I truly feel with our innovation and, you know, really at that social selling platform that we're at now with face-to-face meetings, with Zoom, with social media, is that it's about the innovation, about you teaching and also pivoting because, you know, especially when we were in lockdown, there were a lot of people that had to pivot, is that companies that are forward thinking and, you know, like, and I will tell you, being that I've been in this industry for as long as I have, knowing and buying and diving into other companies that are playing in this space is that you really have to be on the forefront of that innovation. And so there are some companies that are not even on social media yet. Well, you know what? You're doing yourself a disservice, because that's probably, that can probably be at least 50% of the revenue you're bringing in. So I think that's really, in a long-winded version, that's really where we have evolved.
And I think it's beneficial to piggyback on what you just said in terms of how it's kind of a turnkey opportunity for people to come in at a very low investment, as opposed to most businesses, which are usually a pretty heavy investment if you're going to start your own company. It's a lot of risk. Typically, you're putting down almost everything that you have, freeing up your time to go all in on something. And if you're not educated and experienced as an entrepreneur, you have a very high chance of failure. I think the statistics are like 90% in the first 5 years fail. And I think that's why network marketing is such an awesome opportunity, because it's literally handing somebody the business. And obviously, if you're not dedicated, you're not going to put in the hours, or you're not very good, you're going to fail at network marketing just like anything else. Now let's talk about if you are dedicated and if you are very good. What is the business model? What is the earning potential as a network marketer?
Well, you know, I personally know and mentor with people that have made nine figures in this business. You know, with companies that have been established and around longer, which is a great thing because it shows you what's possible. With our growth trajectory that we have in our pay plan, and you know, the one thing that really attracted me is that the products were absolutely phenomenal, playing in the clean, non-toxic space, plant-based products. That was key for us, because we've been very organic and clean for many, many, many years. But it was the efficacy. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
You have to have a product that you can stand behind and that you're truly passionate about. So we checked that box. Our culture, that for me was huge, is because I've been in other companies, and forgive me, with shitty owners, and partnered up with them. And you know, they were really coming from a place of greed. And so therefore I knew what I didn't want. And I knew that culture and people had to be number one. And I will say that I feel that we have done such a great representation of that. As far as our gratitude, our giving back, you know, this is really a business of service, because you can't be successful in this industry without serving other people, period. You'll get to a certain level and then you'll plateau and then you'll drop down. But when you truly have other people's interests at heart, that's what makes the difference. The third thing is that we wanted to have a pay plan that no other company had, which 8 years to this day, to when we launched in 2014, we keep adding to it as we grow as a company. Because it's really important, because it's your people that are the investment. It is not the product. It is your people. And in network marketing, your people are key. Your leadership is number one. And so therefore, you know, we created that, but we also created a comp plan that still pays out the best in the industry at over 50 cents on every single dollar that we receive. We put that back into the field. And so that for me was... That was huge, because it told me right away, you know, exactly how we valued people is creating that platform. So I'm going to tell you something else. Network marketing, you might think technology does it, or maybe real estate or something other than that. But network marketing is the number one industry that creates the most millionaires. Very interesting, you know, statistic. And so therefore, you know, whatever company that you're looking at, make sure that you have passion for the products, the people, and the paycheck. That's it. But do yourself the due diligence and make sure that whoever you're going to partner up with, not that it's your friend, Susie Joe from next door, you really want to do this and you want to make some money, you've got to find a leader that's going to lead you that you align with.
It's funny that you said network marketing creates the most millionaires. A year ago, I don't think I would have believed you. And I had an experience this past year since moving to St. Petersburg, Florida. We met a Francisco, such a cool, laid back guy, had never been to his house. One day he invited us all over to a party at his place in Clearwater. So we all went over, and this man lived in a mansion. He's so unassuming, you never would have guessed. This giant sushi tray comes out and everyone's like, "Cisco, we had no idea you were filthy rich." It's like, yeah, I didn't want you guys to know until I knew you were good friends. And they were like, "All right, Cisco, like, you got to tell us, what do you do?" And he was in network marketing, selling a ketone supplement. And he had been doing it for about 10 years and now barely works at all and is basically collecting money from the team that he's built. And it's just such an incredible thing for me to see and to validate that this actually does work for people. He didn't start the company. He wasn't one of the first 10 guys in. And he's still done, clearly, I think he's doing $500,000 a year just passively right now, which I think is crazy. But it was an example for me to see. Like, it's one thing to say it for people in your company to tell other people, look how much money you can make, look at my car. It's a whole other thing to really see it yourself. So I'm letting the audience know that possibility is absolutely there. Sorry for the story, but Tony, I do have a follow-up to that. Someone who's in the top 10% coming into your company right now, and they are eager to sell, what does their five-year trajectory look like? Obviously, they don't start off making $1 million a year. Is it a slow build-up? I'm saying top 10%, a real high performer here. What is someone realistically looking at?
Okay, so let me clarify. And I love that story. And I know Cisco from being in the industry.
Really?
He's created he has an incredible platform, an incredible following, but that's what heart-based servant leaders, that's what they create. And so it's so funny you mentioned him. But anyways, let me just clarify your question. So are you looking at what is a five-year possibility for people if they jump in, if they're coachable, if they're doing all the income producing activities?
Yeah, five, not possibility, but what is like an average good trajectory look like for somebody like that? I'm sure there's standouts who have done and built incredible things, but not everybody will.
So the one thing is that a lot of people that come into this business model, they already have a full-time gig, right? Mm-hmm. And they are just looking to supplement what they're doing because they're not making enough to get by. I would say that's probably 40, 50, 60% of people that start in a network marketing business because they're just looking for some breathing room financially.
And that's such an advantage, by the way, to network marketing is that you can start this on the side. You don't have to quit your job and go all in like you typically do in your own company. You can slowly build this to a point where eventually, if the goal is to leave your job, you have the option to do that. That's something that it's very hard to do, starting your own company without network marketing.
Right. And it is because you are wearing all the hats, mm-hmm. right? So this particular business model, the only hat that you really have to wear is, you know, sharing this with other people and sharing it on your social media. So that takes a lot of the guesswork out of everything. You're not answering, you know, a whole bunch of phone calls or emails or, you know, doing your P&L. You're not doing, you know, your social media content or anything like that. Cause you know, we pretty much create all of that. So it makes sense, especially for people that are, you know, self-employed or they have a 9-to-5 or anything like that, because you can fit this into the hours that you schedule in, right? When you do your calendar blocking and everything is already done for you. The only thing that you have to do is you have to at least dedicate. And I always say, look, if you want to make an extra, let's say just $500 to $1,000 a month, which most people are just looking for right now, you've got to give me 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week that you're doing the front end activities to make that kind of money. Okay. Now, if you want to go above and beyond that, you just, you know, use the math multiplier. Well, if I want to go 2,000, I'm going to have to put in, you know, 4 hours a week or whatever the case may be. So there is a time to income ratio that I, you know, we help people figure out. But people that have been in this long term, and we have a lot of people that have been here even since when I started 8 years ago. And, you know, they're bringing in, and again, I'm not making income claims or anything like that. You can go to our income disclosure, but they're bringing in, you know, mid five, high five, six figures a month. That's even $1,000 a month, Jay, that's life-changing money for most families right now. And so what we're able to do is provide them with that solution without answering to someone else. Like if you get a second part-time job, you're being told when to be there, how much you're going to make, what to wear. You know, if your kids are sick or they have something going on, you don't have that opportunity to schedule that around, you know, your life like you do this.
Right. So essentially the hours that you put in is the output that you're going to get out.
Exactly. So if you're a go-getter and you're willing to invest 20 to 25 hours a week with the front end activities, which means, mm-hmm. you know, actively building your business, I've had people that had started out earning their full-time income in 6 to 12 months.
Wow.
Then that gives you options.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just food for thought and something to think about that when, you know, especially right now, the two things, Jay, people are looking for is just to alleviate gas and food they're putting on their table.
Yeah.
That's costing the average family an extra. Well, I think it's a conservative number. They said $500 a month. I think it's more closer to 1,000.
And climbing. So I agree. Yes. There's never been a better time to secure income in as many sources as you can. So you never know when your full-time job or your part-time job could be at risk too. This is something that's under your control, which I think is really kind of an important factor and reason to get into it as well. Big pushback or question that I get talking about network marketing, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, is that it might not be the right fit for them because they don't have a large existing social audience or network. Is this a concern? Is this something that should deter somebody from entering network marketing?
Well, I think, you know, number one is that people are always going to have objections because of their own personal failures. Mm. And that's what I find is that most people that, you know, we work with, they question sometimes their self-worth, yeah, or their self-esteem is not where it needs to be. So that's the first thing. Okay. So we really lock arms with people, you know, and just helping them get through that initial fear. Okay. I think that's a fear. It's a fear. It's, you know, one of those things where people are like, well, my network isn't big enough. Well, you know what, on average, just from us living life until the age of 30 years old, on average, you know, 500 to 700 people just face to face without social media.
Right.
Okay. So the one thing is I think that is, you know, just an objection. And when we sit down and we talk about the amount of people that we know, and we start breaking that down and we start going through their list, they know more people than they think that they do. What I think is that they're quantifying is how many people they talk to on a daily basis, because what we do is we totally kind of reverse engineer that. And you know what, we're going to start, you know, just checking in with people, really start building those relationships. And even if they haven't talked to people in a long time, do not go send them cold spammy messages if you have not talked to them or you don't know them that well. That's for me, that's shady, right? People will do business with you when they know, like, and trust you, and when you've put that emotional currency in their deposit.
Right. Okay? I've purchased products from network marketers, so I agree with you. And there's some really great ways to approach it and to do it.
And what happens is that, you know, this industry, because, you know, a lot of companies don't have the training and they don't have the platform that we've created, and they just kind of sign up people and say, okay, go talk to all your friends and family. They don't give them tools.
Yeah.
Regardless, and I don't care if you've been in this industry before, you still have to have tools. Yeah. You have to know what to ask, how to ask it, you know, what are the best, you know, possible things that you can do. And so therefore we start right from the beginning on what do you say? Yeah. And don't go out there and put sales ads up on your social media. That also looks tacky. So we have a systematic approach. So anyone that has any objection, I've usually been through it, or, you know, someone that we know has been through it, and, you know, here's how we overcome that objection. So we do trainings on all of this.
It's funny. It's literally building a business, because you're learning how to market and sell, but also to recruit, train, lead, and manage. Because like you said, you gotta make sure that your team has the tools and knows how to use them so that they can then go on and sell and recruit more. So it is building a business. It's the same skills that I use and practice every day in my service company. Very, very interesting. I would also love to spend a couple minutes, entrepreneur to entrepreneur, talking about the decision and what it's been like to start a network marketing company, because that sounds daunting. It sounds like a massive undertaking. Getting people to sell for you, it has been one of the hardest things that I've encountered as an entrepreneur. And you do that at scale in a way that is not even comprehensible to me. So what initiated kind of that thought that you needed to start a network marketing company?
Well, you know what? I've been direct to companies before, and just seeing the value that companies can provide and do for people. And so I'm always thinking residual income, right? But also service-based. And, you know, I've learned from many successful people that have been in different industries, but they're all service-based driven. And so that's one of the things I really think that, you know, we've been able to do as an entrepreneur is really provide that value without making the sale first. Don't look at it from, ooh, what can they give me? What can they give me? It's no, what can you provide for them? Find the problem and you be the solution provider. So I think in, you know, also another roundabout way is that most people are not taught entrepreneurism all the way through school. School's not designed to do that.
Not at all.
You know, many years ago, when I was in high school, we had a basic class that every single person had to take, and it was called business math. It's where they taught you how to balance a checkbook. It's where they taught you how to budget. It's where they taught you how to spend less than what you make. And so those concepts we really don't see anymore. And as far as being a business owner, because teachers are not business owners, right? They're employed by your tax dollars.
Right.
And so the great thing is that I truly feel that we teach people skills that they were never taught before. And so it gives them a different outlook on everything that they're doing, as long as they're open to it. So I hope that I answered that question in a roundabout way, but I definitely think that anyone that is looking at, you know, if you have a big dream, a big goal, I don't care what it is that everyone should be in a network marketing company just because of the principles that you're going to learn.
I agree with you. So in a way, you went into this to teach and impact as many future entrepreneurs as you possibly could.
Yes.
I love
yes.
that.
Yes. And yeah. And I mean, it just comes through. I mean, even being present, like I just went live on Instagram earlier, and I'm talking about how leaders are built. They're not bought.
Yeah.
Right? Because we see that happen, not just in my industry, we see it happen all over. And if that leader or that person that's delivering the message doesn't have the passion behind it, you can tell how unauthentic they are right away.
Absolutely. And man, just to kind of piggyback on my questions and curiosity, it seems like in order to have a successful network marketing company, you need a lot of pieces to align really perfectly. I think with mm-hmm. with a shitty product, there's no chance it'll burn out. And I've actually yep. noticed all of the products I've ever purchased from network marketing companies are premier products. They're excellent. Mary Kay is the one I'm specifically referring to. And I've got a fun story for how I was sold on that one in a little bit. But product needs to be on point. And correct me if I'm wrong. Culture needs to be insane. You need people highly motivated and enthusiastic for the company, for the culture, for the product. And then systems need to be dialed in and outstanding. Getting those three things right is an insane accomplishment that I'm sure the listeners can't appreciate. Even I can't fully appreciate. But walk me through the stages of building those things. Did you fumble? Did you get some stuff wrong? What have been the secrets to building this to where it is today?
I still get shit wrong to this yeah. day, but I think it's a process of trial and error. So I knew that being that we were a startup, because it was my third startup that I had been with, that we had to have systems in place to keep it duplicable. And that is where many industries, not just social selling and network marketing, fail miserably, is because they don't have systems. So we created that very quickly and just had something where we could share. And I say the opportunity is the biggest gift, even though we have the best damn shampoo on planet Earth. But the opportunity is truly the business because of the power of it. But we had to have something in place, a script where people could share. People could share, here's what you share about, you know, this product if you love it, this product if you love it. And even though it was bare bones, at least we had something that we could say, here you go. This is exactly what you say. And then give it to them. And I say, make it your own, put your own twist on it. But, you know, here's the fine line bullet points. We didn't really have a whole lot when we started, because you're bootstrapping when you're brand new. We didn't have what we call Monique University now. We didn't have our training facility. We had a really small corporate office in Doral, which is right outside of Miami. And now we have this massive, I think it's like 2 acres now, where we have our home office and our warehousing and everything, and where we formulate the products. But, you know, back then we didn't have any of that. But what we did have is that we did have the culture, because I knew that, because one of my favorite mentors, John Maxwell, says, and this is my favorite quote of all time, culture eats strategy for breakfast. So we had that from the get-go. And, you know, like I said, the product has to be something that you are going to stand behind 100%. There can never be any waiver. So, you know, with that, and then our systems developed, and we tried and we failed, and we tried stuff and then it didn't work. And then we tried stuff that did work. And so, but that's what we kept our core at, simplicity, right? So the one thing is that this business, no business is ever easy. But if a business is simple, then that's going to make so much more success for people. Mm-hmm. If the business is confusing or it's complex, the mind shuts down and says, no, I don't want to have any part of that. So we have a simple 5-step process, and then we just lather, rinse, repeat over and over and over again. And that's truly what we've really kept it to. The only thing that I will say, Jay, is that social media is a little bit different. That can be a little bit daunting because there are so many different platforms, so many different, you know, hey, let's do a live, let's do a post, let's do a reel, let's talk, you know? Yeah. So I always say, you know what, pick one that you like, and that's where you're going to concentrate on, because that's only going to help you in your business. The social media is a tool for everybody, and it's free. So you got to be doing the do on social. But the great thing is that, you know, I have created systems where, you know, if that's not their strong suit, well, here you go. Here's your 30-day social media calendar. Boom. Here is, you know, 15 ideas on reels. Just make sure that you pick the popular trending music. So we always really try to be on point with technology and be on point with innovation.
I love that. And I like to tell a short story and then ask a couple more questions.
Yeah, this is your Mary Kay story, right?
This is the Mary Kay story. So I moved into a very nice building into Orlando. It must have been 3 years ago. And beautiful woman in my building, saw her all the time, saw her driving around in her pink Escalade. And we built a relationship. You know, we were working out together sometimes, talking shop, talking business. I knew she was doing something with Mary Kay, but I had very little experience and knowledge in network marketing or what Mary Kay was. I had no idea that Mary Kay even existed or that they were a skincare brand. And then about 6 months go by and she asked me if I wanted a free facial. And that she was doing it for training for one of her associates. I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take a free facial. Like, let me know where to show up. Free facial time. Eventually I show up at her office place, and a little bit of a bait and switch, realized that it was not a free facial. It was a facial that I was doing on myself with their skincare products. There was one of her associates present to kind of learn how to sell using the free facial tactic, how to walk someone through the free facial, and realized at that point, you know, not only was I getting kind of a skincare coach out of it, I was asking questions, they were telling me what to do, but I loved the products. I felt a little bit less duped and was like, okay, you know what? This is cool. I'm asking questions. She knows her shit. She's a skincare coach. I like the products. Ended up buying $200 worth of skincare. I still use Mary Kay to this day. It's awesome stuff. But I guess my point there and my questions is it was such a creative tactic, not only with the pink Escalade, which I'm sure works wonders for recruiting. It's like, wow, you know, she drives that Escalade. She must do well. And then they ask her questions about it. She's like, oh, you know, it's from Mary Kay. I don't even pay for this thing. And then with the facial tactic, it was just a brilliant way to get you in the door and kind of open that bridge to sell product in a friendly way rather than buy the skincare product. So I was just so impressed with the company and with what they had done and come up with. And I'm sure that was after iterations, trial, error, testing. So I have a lot of respect for that company and for Monet, who I've seen and heard about from all over the place. Obviously, no one's trying to sell me shampoo. I'm probably not your target demographic. But my question to you is there anything creatively that you guys have tried, failed, and seen success in that I guess sets you apart from other companies? And is that like wow factor for people? Like, oh, Monet, what is that?
Yeah. So Jay, I'm going to tell you, we have great products for men. You're going to love our shampoo because I'm going to send you some. The one thing that I will tell you is that people right now, they want to gather. They want to have fun. So we've really looked at creative, unique ways.
Yeah.
Like we're doing a gratitude event, a fundraising event. Is it next week? I think it's next week. I don't even know what today's date is, but we're doing a really creative event where, you know, we're having a PJ party at our local independent owned bookstore. And we're doing a fundraiser to raise pajama funds or donate pajamas for our local orphanage here, because we have a real problem with, you know, children that do not have, you know, parents. Yeah. So we're always looking at, you know, combining fun events to give back, and especially through other entrepreneurs. So, you know, we've done creative things like that. Like we'll do like a game night, or we'll do a wine and wash party, or, you know, sometimes my husband will have the guys over, and they'll do like, you know, when they, at the beginning, what is what they do in the beginning when they're betting on their football pool, you know, just different stuff, but it's social in aspect, but we can also get to know new people. We're still talking about the business, but it's not like we're not selling them something. We're sharing with them something that we truly love. And I think that's where people got away from the shitty hotel meetings, yeah, where, you know, you didn't know why you were there and you got meted by some guy in a 3-piece suit you don't know. And then you got the business opportunity shoved down your throat and you couldn't leave the room until you pulled your credit card out.
Right.
Right. That's not what this industry anymore. It's about bringing people together. And so, you know, therefore, that's why we're always looking to have fun. That's the first thing, a component to giving back, another component to bring people together, and just to get to know people in your community, especially when you're doing local events. So, I mean, that's really how we've structured it, and it's been very, very successful. I'll give you one other example, and I'm so jealous I can't go. So one of our regional directors, she knows the guy. It's on Airbnb, but it's some famous mansion right outside of Chicago, right? So they rent it out, and it's on Airbnb. It's like a 30 room home, and so they rented it out for one night because you can rent it out for events. And they're having this really fun event. They're gonna do a holiday theme party. It's probably gonna be ugly Christmas sweater. Someone's gonna get a prize for the worst one. But, you know, they have this all figured out. Like they're going to have a special mocktail, a special cocktail. They're, you know, serving, you know, they're having a cookie bake off, just stuff like that. And I'm not just saying this is not just for women. Men do their own thing, right? This is just women's way of gathering.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, just different fun themed ideas where you can honestly have a great conversation. You can talk about business, but you can also get to know other people.
And I feel like a little bit of the FOMO is built into the culture too. People sharing those cool things on social media. Everyone wants to be part of the family, part of the team. And that's, I think, in this day and age with social media, the best way to attract people is make it look really fun on social, and people will want to join in and join in on the party and see what it's all about.
Yep, 100%.
I love that. So you're the author of the Effing Simple series. And that's a series of books and educational courses to help people get into this world. Talk to me a little bit about that series, and if you could kind of break down the stepwise approach that you take in your curriculum that people can take and you take people through in order to kind of reach the final destination.
Yeah. So, you know, we had talked about simplifying everything because everything seems so convoluted and complex these days, especially in this industry. So I just finished our fourth book, actually. But the first book was all about network marketing. I, you know, being that I, you know, truly am a servant of this industry, and I want to change people's entire perception about, you know, what network marketing is, because there's still a lot of people they don't know. They're just not educated about what it really can do. So the first book was non-negotiables about this industry, how you can be successful, what behaviors, best practices that you can be to be successful. And through that platform, and the reason why I called it effing simple is because, you know, there's a lot of other people that have used, you know, that one four-letter word, which I'm not, you know, there's an orchestrated time to drop a good F-bomb, you know, at any
cool
time.
On this
but
show.
Anyways.
Feel free to drop exactly. one if you need to.
So I wanted to take something that was memorable, but still really represented, you know, who I was, being that, you know, we had, you know, done this. We had built the coaching platform. We had built the speaking platform, but also too, all of the lessons that I've learned about just making things more simple in business, in your life, in leadership, tools that people can use to be more efficient. And so that's where this whole platform started. And so that's kind of it's kind of taken on a cool life of its own, which I had always envisioned, because my big dream is like, man, if I can be successful enough, I can just self-fund my own book. And that was always a big dream of mine. And so that's what we did. And so the first book we released, it'll be our 4-year anniversary in 2 months. So I try to keep coming out with a book a year, because technology is forever changing. Or, you know, I'm in the College of Lifelong Learning from people that are more successful than I am. So I take a lot of things, you know, what I learn and I apply them. And then I just want to get it out there to as many people as possible. So that's where Effing Simple came from. The idea is that it would still catch people's attention, and I would probably offend a few people, but that's okay.
And what can people expect to learn in that one, the first series, Effing Simple?
So the first one is all about network marketing, and it's even for small business owners, non-negotiables. And I really talk about, you know, the four income producing activities for any business. And then also, that book is written like a workshop. So there's areas cool. that you can write in the book. You make it your own. And it's really great because it peels back the onions of things that you're doing or not doing that are not serving you in your business. So that was the initial first book, which I need to revise it again because technology has changed so much right. in the last 4 years. But that was our first foray in it, and it's still to this day. I don't think there's really been anybody else in network marketing that's written a book that's, you know, I want to say in the last 4 years, I haven't seen one. So you have books like GoPro, Beach Money by Jordan Adler. Sarah Robbins wrote I can't remember the name of her book, but she's a multi-millionaire in Rodan and Fields. But there hasn't been really a lot of people that have written about our industry that's current. Right. So one of the things that you have to do is you have to remain relevant. Yeah,
absolutely. And what about the other two books? You got Effing Simple, You Do You, and then Effing Simple Leadership. Who yes. are those for? What do those teach?
So You Do You is being the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. But there are, you know, again, I try to keep it to 4 or 5 key activities that you need to do daily to be the best version of yourself. Doing your devos, doing gratitude, you know, making sure that you're checking in and following up with people, seeing how they're doing, you know, those types of things. And also too, self-care. Man, that's a big one. Self-care, I mean, it leads to self-esteem, to self-worth. So that's what that book was focused on. And then my leadership book, and this was really difficult to write, but what I did is I took, five other women that impacted my soul, that needed their story told, and I got their story down on paper, and they've been women that have been incremental in my life, realizing this is also it's been women that have impacted me over the last 10 years.
So, amazing. You were able to sit down with them and get their story.
And it was my favorite thing to do, you know, walking them through the process of becoming a published author. And it was really, really cool.
That is cool. And that's one of my favorite things about a podcast, right? I get to sit down with cool people like you and hear about your story, which is usually way more interesting than mine in a lot of cases. So thank you for sitting down with me. And then in addition to the books, you've got a course that people can take. Is that specifically for network marketing, or who would be a good fit for that course? What does it teach?
So this is my first course. So the one thing that I did is love showing people what's possible, creating that vision, creating, you know, and it's a visionary course, because what it does is you're going to have to think, it prompts you to think forward. And what does your life look like 10 years from now? Right. It's the 10-year visionary path. And I didn't create it. I just said, oh, this is a great idea. How can we Tonyfy this? And so I do these leadership weekends. I actually tricked out my house, and I'm sitting right now in our conference room in our, and it's actually on our property, but I teach a whole 1-day course on this. So I'm like, if I can take a 1-day course that people are spending 10 hours in doing, and I can offer that and scale to people that are really, and most people don't know their true why of why they're on this earth, Jay. And so again, you have to help them uncover it, and you have to keep helping them uncover more and more and more. And just like I said before, peel back the onion layers. So this course is designed to take people through, what do they want in a year from now? What do they want in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now? You know, 10 years ago, you probably didn't even think that you're going to be at this point in your life, right? Where you have this amazingly successful podcast, and you're out there on social, and you're doing all these great things. We don't realize how much we can scale in 10 years.
Right.
Right. And so it's about breaking that 10-year vision down and going backwards. Most people look at a vision, even a 1-year plan, and they look at where they are now and they move forward, when you actually have to break it down and work it backwards. So that's the course. And I have to say, being that, you know, I've taught this class now for 2.5 years, and I've probably done 20 or 30 of them, is that these are rote fundamental things that people need to do to unlock their dreams.
It's funny, when I get to talk, the chance to talk to people such as yourself who are very successful, oftentimes money is no longer an object of concern, and they can really start thinking about, what is my dream? What is my purpose? What is my goal? It becomes very interesting, because I feel like until you reach that point, it's like, I need to make more money. I need to make more money. I need to make more money. And then you don't need any more money. And then what? So I'd love to ask the question, what is kind of your purpose? What is your 10-year plan? Is it impact? Is it legacy? Is it dynasty? What drives you now that you've built this successful company?
So, you know what it's really about right now? It's about helping other entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I just was on a phone with a gentleman today, and he's like, yeah, you know, and he's got this really, really cool, he's a former military man. And I'm just going to use TJ as an example, because it was a conversation that I just had, somebody I don't really know. We connected through another mastermind. We're always on up each other's social, checking everything out. And he was formerly in the service. And so he created what he called a whoobie. And if you know anything about, you know, kids, they call their blankets whoobies. And this is what servicemen know, they don't ever leave without this thing, because anything could happen at any time. And it's like this parka you roll up, and it's a blanket, and it has all these other features, right? And he's like, man, you know, you're one in, and we're only doing 30,000 a month. I go, dude, I said, do you realize? He's never been an entrepreneur before, right? Yeah. He was a career serviceman. Then he went into private security and just launched his own company a year ago. I'm like, do you know how well you're doing for only being in this gig for a year? And so I was, you know, asking him, you know, some stuff about, where's he spending his marketing dollars? You know, how's he outsourcing the stuff that he's not good at? You know, and all this kind of, I want to be a resource for people, because I've not only been in network marketing, I got started in this because our brick and mortars during the recession back in the late 90s tanked. And so I had to think quick on my feet. So I call it serialpreneurship, but you know, just stuff like that. I want to be a resource for people. I want to say, hey, I see this. Here's what I see. Don't do this. Don't do this. Do that. Do that. Do that. Because I've already done it. Right. So if I'm adding value to them, which means in turn for me, that's the greatest gift I can get. But also too, is that, I'm looking at different things that I've never done before. Like, I just invested in real estate, building our CRM. Yeah. That was a huge undertaking and a huge investment and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah. And it's stuff that I see that there's a need for that we don't have, but it's specifically related to entrepreneurs.
Awesome.
So, you know, and being that, you know, we started our investments in real estate. Now we're creating that so I can have that as a resource for people that want another residual stream of income. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing. I want to be the residual income. Like, here you go. Here's this. There's a whole bunch of different ideas, but it's all, Jay, it's all about residual income. You got to have at least four or five streams.
I think the average millionaire has seven streams. Such an interesting data point. Now, in your research and your journey into figuring out what your purpose was, which I'm sure wasn't easy, obviously now you're teaching it, is there any specific nugget of information or knowledge that you can share with the listeners that might help guide them down the right path to finding out what their purpose actually is?
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter what you do. You got to show up relentlessly and you have to be consistent. Okay. And I truly believe that God put each person on this earth for a gift that you have within you. And you probably have suppressed that gift. 95% of people have, because as a child, you had all of these wild dreams and imaginations. And then you were told, no, 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 you won't make money at that. Nobody makes money at this. The purpose for your reason here, and maybe you don't know that purpose is, go back to look at what interests you. What do you love to do? What is your calling? What is something that you can't wait? Like if you've got the 9 to 5, what can't you wait to get home to do? And maybe, you know what? Maybe you're a parent and you just love being with your kids. Okay. I mean, you know, there's an opportunity there. Start a daycare. Who knows? You know, and you could be with your kids 24/7. By the way, that's what I did when my kids were really little. That was my other brick and mortar was a daycare. But the great thing is that no matter what that is that if you are not living in your purpose, you'll never be able to scale on that income scale you want to scale on.
That's great wisdom.
You just got to find a way.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That's impactful. So final question here, Tony, this Mentors Collective, I ask everybody this towards the end. If you could pick one book that you would suggest, and you can't pick your own, that listeners should read that's been impactful for you, what would that book be? And second question, what mentor has been impactful for you? And ideally a name like Maxwell, like you mentioned earlier, that people can go look up and consume their content.
Yep. So John is, he's in my top five. Absolutely top five. But, you know, I have to recommend High Trust Selling by Todd Duncan. I mentor with Todd personally. He is just the most amazing, heartfelt human, one of the people that I've ever met in my entire life. And I actually met him because we had him do some work for Monate and then developed a personal relationship with him. Funny story, and I just got to tell you this real quick, Jay, is that my 14-year-old daughter saw him when he spoke to us for the very first time was it 2018 or 2019? I can't remember, but it was at our annual conference and he was on there, blew everybody away. My daughter at the time was 9 years old. She's sitting there taking copious notes, would not budge from her chair. And after Todd got done speaking, we went up to go to the restroom and we ran into him going to the restroom. He was walking back from stage. And, you know, he's 6'4" and Catherine is very short. She goes up to his lapel and she goes, you know, I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of speakers since we've been doing this. And you were by far my favorite.
9 years old.
9 years old. And he got down on one knee and he said, you are incredible. He goes, you are so special. You're going to do amazing things. She's never forgotten that day. We personally exchange text messages. We have calls. He checks in on Catherine. I mean, this guy's making like, you know, probably 9 figures a year. Yeah. And he took the time. He took the time. And so it's heartfelt people like him and Maxwell that I really gravitate towards. But he's my ultimate favorite.
Yeah, it's amazing when someone you respect and admire like that, and you meet them in person and they're actually a good human. Such
exactly.
A good feeling.
It is.
What about it really is.
And there's a lot. And then the number one book would be High Trust Selling by Todd.
High trust selling. That's not one I've heard yet. So excited to dive into that and add it to my hopefully audiobook list. Now, Tony, where can people find you, connect with you if they enjoyed our conversation and want to hear more?
So I love to connect on Instagram. I'm at Tony Vans, V-A-N-S, at official on Instagram. And then also, too, if you guys want to receive my newsletters, get the free ebook, just go to www.effingsimple.com and just say, yes, I want my free ebook. And it's a really great collective list of 5 high-level business tips.
Appreciate it. Everyone listening, go follow Tony. And if you love this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. And Tony, thank you so much for your time. It's an honor to speak with the founder of one of, you know, the biggest and most prolific network marketing companies that I know of. So I've had a ton of fun here. Excited to have you in my network as a mentor for me. And thank you for taking the time to share with my audience. I know everyone got a lot of value out of this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jay. It was a pleasure and an honor.